welcome to Flocking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at BirdBrain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. BirdBrain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And we have one of those grown-ups today who is coming to us all the way from Ashdod, Israel. I'm so thrilled to be here talking to Alejandra Pilnik, the CEO of Robo Sapiens. And I have so much to learn from you. Thank you so much for being here, Alejandra.
Hi. Hi, Sarah. How are you? I'm very happy to be here with you. It's a pleasure. It's a honor for me to be here.
Oh, well, we're so thrilled to have you. And I'm going to tell you are going to be able to tell the story of Robo Sapiens and what you do far better than I am. But I found something on your website that I loved, the Robo Sapiens mission. The website says, and this is translated from Hebrew into English, so forgive if there are any errors, but our mission is to develop in children a variety of personal and professional skills that will allow them to lead in the technology world of tomorrow. So great start already. But then it continues, since we do not know how to predict how this world will look, all of our activities combine learning and technological creation with the development of personal skills, including entrepreneurship, independence, teamwork, and involvement in community. That's so beautiful because it sounds like you're focusing on the whole learner and the kind of citizen that they're going to become. And I just think that's so great. So we'll use that as a launching point. And you can tell us, who are you? What is your teaching story? And maybe even a little bit about Robo Sapiens.
Of course. So I am Alejandra, and I'm the owner and director of Robo Sapiens. We work in Israel. But from a very young age, I wanted to be a teacher because I believed then and now that education is the vehicle that can really change lives.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up and studied in Argentina, where I was had the fortune to experiment in many styles of education, including my secondary studies completed during the military directorship. From all this experience, I learned a lot about education. Mainly what was wrong and what I saw should not be done. Sorry. Mm. And so, little by little, I was forming the educational style that defines me today here in Israel and in other countries where I teach. Once somebody asked me what success means for me. Ooh. Without thinking, I answered. The day that I will be able to verify that I have contributed to improved one single child's quality of life, then I will consider myself successful.
Oh, that's so beautiful. When you've impacted a child's quality of life. I love that.
This is my object all the life.
Oh, the mission that kind of underlines everything for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I have an educational method that is centered on the student, on their needs and interests, and on how from there we can teach them almost everything. This is the reason because I always take care of knowing the interests and needs of the new generation and creating from there the content.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of 19, I began to teach computing, then robotics, and so expanded to technological education. These disciplines allow me to approach students speaking their same language, and from them, educating almost any discipline from physics, mechanics, programming, computational thinking, to history, teamwork, social inclusion, making and tinkering, language, and many more.
Wait, you teach all of those things?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
From robotics.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. That robotics really can lead into all of those subjects and you're incorporating all of that. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. Keep going.
Yeah, yes, of course. And they are interested in this. They love this because I can speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the same world. Oh. I understand it.
And that's beautiful. I mean, you're meeting students where they are by diving into their interests and what you said about getting to know the students and kind of the generation first and then creating the content is beautiful. And that's not always, teachers don't always have that flexibility and the ability to do that. And I bet your students recognize that you create content for them and that they're being met in passions that they have. I bet that makes a big difference.
Yes. Yes. I see this. My student, I need to say to my students, let's go to the break. They don't want to finish the class. Also in the break, they are still sitting in the class. No, no, it's okay. It's okay. We don't know. We don't, it's okay. It's okay.
You have to kick him out of the room, huh?
Yeah. I said, please, let's go. I also need a break. No, 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 it's okay. We want to study.
So do you teach full-time and run RoboSapiens? Or is this through RoboSapiens?
Through RoboSapiens.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the organization.
We teach robotics, programming, and technological education. We also participate in competitions.
Oh.
And we organize our own competition.
Oh, so you do your own competition and you go and participate in other competitions.
Yes.
Do students have a favorite? Do they like your competition or do they have a competition that they like best?
I don't know. It's very different. I like first. I participate from many years in FIRST in Israel, and I really love it. But when I can do my own competition and create the challenges and see this, I can love it. It's very different.
Listeners, I wish you could see Alejandra's face right now, because when she talks about these competitions, she's just lighting up like this big smile. She looks so happy. I mean, I could just see being a student working with you and being like, oh my goodness, she's so excited for me. Like, look how happy she is. Is there a lot of competition for FIRST LEGO League in Israel?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
FIRST, not FIRST LEGO League. For FIRST in Israel?
Yeah. It's already 100 groups of all the categories, from Explore to FRC.
Oh, wow. Okay. So some stiff competition over there.
Yeah. It's very important.
So you talked about how you always knew that you wanted to be an educator, but how did you know that you were going to focus on technology and creative robotics? What was your journey like into those specific fields?
I always seek for the things that the kids love. I always try to speak their own language. So this was the language of the 90s.
It was totally student-led? You followed where they led and found this passion?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my God. Did you have to teach yourself these things?
Yes, of course.
Are you still learning, do you think?
All the time. Especially from my peoples.
Oh, they teach you a lot?
Yeah.
I can definitely connect with that. And that actually leads really beautifully into our next question. Can you share a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from your classroom? I bet it has to do with that teaching.
Oh, I have moments like those all day in my classes. Mm-hmm. But there are some of them that I will really remember all my life. A challenging moment was when a student of about 10 years old, after the fifth class of the course, approached me and said, Alejandra, listen, your class is interesting and you are very nice, but I don't love robotics and I don't want to learn this.
Oh.
After thinking for a moment, I invite him to sit down and talk. Ask him who he was, what he did, what his family was like, and what he liked to do. His answers highlighted a high interest in music and musical composition.
Oh.
So after a few minutes, I took one of the hummingbird bit kits with which the rest of the class was trying to program a smart home system and proposed him to create a musical instrument that can be programmed.
Oh my gosh.
His eyes lit right up when he asked, "Can I?" From that day, he was the most enthusiastic student in the class. Also, his project progressed during the course. It never managed to finish or work completely. Today, he has high studies in music and is studying robotics engineering at the university.
No.
Yes.
Oh
He's
my gosh.
Yeah.
He, it sounds like he had never drawn the connection between technology and music, and you must have just blown his mind by saying that he could do both.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I wish I could find that student and interview them, because I bet they would talk about you the way that you're talking about them.
His mother all the time speaks with me and tell me what happens with him.
Wow. So with that sounds like a rewarding moment. Was a challenging moment too, though. I mean, it's hard to have a student look you in the eye and say, "You're great. The class is nice, but this isn't for me." I think a lot of teachers might hear that and be like, "Well, too bad. You have to be here." But instead, you sat him down and said, "Let me learn about you." And that must have been such a powerful moment for that student.
Right. Right. You are right.
Did someone do that for you as a student? Is that where you got kind
No.
of your mission from? No. Oh.
Absolutely no. That was what I wanted that somebody do for me when I was a child. When I was
I can really connect with that. I didn't necessarily have a teacher that kind of sat me down and asked me where my passions were and met me there. And I think it might have made a big difference for me too. So you are dedicating your life to becoming the kind of educator that you needed when you were younger. Whew. I got goosebumps. Ooh, this goosebumps are traveling around the world. That's pretty powerful. So I'm guessing that our listeners are probably hearing this and thinking about what a powerful tool technology and robotics can be for meeting students where they are, for engaging their passions. And some might not know how to get started. So what advice would you give to teachers looking to start teaching with technology and with creative robotics and to have those powerful moments like the one you described?
Oh, wow. What can I say? Advice? I think that we need to search for the materials and kits that they like the most and entertain them, that allow them to play, because there is no better teaching way than playing, that's the game.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, play all the time. Play when you set up classes. Play in class with your students and you will never need to teach again.
Oh, I don't know that that's advice that we have heard on this podcast before. And you're so right. It helps your students. And I know that as an educator, I can show up in a different way when I give myself permission to play. It changes the whole class. And does it have the same impact for you? Does it change the way you teach when you show up with that playful mindset?
Sure, the game is the natural way to learn.
For everybody, all ages.
For everybody. A baby play all the time.
Oh yeah, I have an almost 5-month-old. All she does is play.
Well, that is the way they know the world. They learn the first thing.
And we only grow out of that if we're kind of pushed to grow out of that. But if it's nurtured, then we can keep playing and seeing the world in that playful, curious way. And I think a lot of really amazing creations and discoveries and inventions can come from looking at the world in a playful way.
Right. Sure.
So do your students often play with the hummingbird kit? You mentioned that that particular student was using it to create musical instruments, which is so cool. And I'm absolutely going to do that as soon as we hang up on this call. But do your students play with the hummingbird kit a lot? Is that a tool that works well for that playful exploration?
They play all the time. I give them challenge questions. Can you create with my pupil? Can you create a musical instrument? And so do this.
That's a perfect way to describe it. You give them a challenge and they just create incredible things. Oh, now I'm going to have to dig through maybe your social media and see if I can find some of those creations. Do you ever share what your students make?
Yes. I can share it. Yes.
So if maybe on the resources for this episode, I can add the link to your website and to places that you share those resources so listeners can see.
Yeah, of course, I will upload there some the pictures and videos that I have. I also made a competition with Amimer. One of my competitions was using Amimer for creating robots for Mars.
Oh, like a Mars rover or something that works on Mars, something that gets students to Mars?
Like a Mars rover. They need to collect some things from the surface of Mars.
Oh, like samples and rocks and dirt.
Exactly.
So that's play, but that's also really, really useful. I mean, we are going to have more rovers and vehicles heading to Mars and collecting samples in our lifetime. So while that's play, those are also very useful kind of life skills.
Yeah. I think that at NASA, the engineer also then play.
Oh, we like that. It's we're going to have to reach out to NASA and say, how much do you play?
No, but it's a real play, or it's a serious play. Mm-hmm. Well, they play with it.
Mm-hmm. And they might call it a different name. They might call it exploring or hypothesizing or iterating. You know, there are lots of fancy words, but when you get down to it, it's play, it's exploration. Mm-hmm. So I think I might be able to connect that to this last question, which is my favorite one. But Alejandro, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
I'm really a flocking amazing educator? I don't know, but I can say that the most important thing for me in the class is that it will be interesting and fun for the students, but above all for the teacher. When a class bores me, I just change it.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I chose to work with the robotics kits and learning kits developed by Bill Ryan. They allow me a lot of flexibility and creativity, giving freshness to the class and independence of thought to the students.
Ooh, flexibility, independence, the creativity, the play. I think the fact that you put those things at the very top of your list of importance when you're planning, those are just a few of the things that make you a flocking amazing educator. Not every teacher does that and holds their students' passions and interests and engagement to such a high standard. It sounds like if you try something with your students and they don't love it, it's out the window and you're doing something new to really keep them interested. And that's pretty flocking amazing. I can say definitively now, you are a flocking amazing educator. I had a hunch before we started, but now I know for sure you definitely are.
If you say this, so it will be.
That's right. I am the expert after all. You are. We'll get you a button or something. Is there anything else that you want our listeners to know before we wrap up?
Yes, that we have in our hands something really important. We're forming the next generation, and we are deciding how will the world be in the next years. And it's very, very, very important that we will do our work the best as possible.
It's a great honor and also a very big responsibility to know that we're shaping the world. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone describe it exactly that way. I hear a lot of that's not the way the real world works, or we need to get them ready for the real world. But I like the way you make it sound like we are designing the real world, because who designs the real world but the people in it?
Yeah. I always say that the future of the world is in my class today.
Oh, oh, I love that. And teachers everywhere, the future of the world is in your class today. How's that for getting you up out of bed and getting you to work in the morning, right? There's some inspiration. And listeners, I want you to know that Alejandra could have done this interview in Spanish or in Hebrew, but she was so kind as to speak to me in English, not her first language, and just did an incredible job painting these pictures using this really, really passionate language to describe. Thank you so much. I know that you did a lot of preparation for this, and it was just fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm very glad to be here. And I send you shalom.
Shalom. Listeners, you can learn more about Robo Sapiens. I will post the link. We will share resources so you can learn all about Alejandra and what she does. Thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.